listening to the 40 Thrive Podcast, the show created for women 40 and beyond, ready to shake things up. And now, your host, Jackie McDougall.
Welcome back to another episode of 40 Thrive, the final one of 2020. As we wrap up the year, I wanted to give you an episode that's short, sweet, but also so impactful. Janet Ioli is the author of Less Ego, More Soul, a modern reinvention guide for women. And she's also the creator of the 2021 Power Presence Practices calendar and journal. The first printing she did was back in September. It was sold out in 2 days. These are becoming very, very popular. So you want to check that out. Both of these items, she is generously giving away to one of our 40 Thrive listeners. So stay with me here. Before we get into that, have you ever seen one of those posts where people choose a word that sort of serves as their compass for the year to come? I love choosing a word every December, something that inspires me to maybe try new things and have new experiences. My word for 2020 that I chose last year in December was connection. Little did I know that circumstances would make that a little bit more difficult, but it was a great reminder when things did get a little crazy that I could still create connection. It just might look a little different. My word for 2021 is curiosity. My plan is to come from a place of curiosity no matter what, to hear people out, to discover things about myself that maybe I haven't even tapped into. What's one word you'll carry into 2021? Pop into our free and private Facebook group and share in the dedicated post I created there. In fact, when you comment on that post, you'll be entered to win both Janet's book, Less Ego, More Soul, as well as her 2021 Power Presence Practices calendar and journal. So good luck. And if you're not already in the group, click the link here in the show notes and just head on over. One super duper important thing before we jump into the conversation with Janet. We've created a short listener survey so we can make the absolute best 2021 40 Thrive episodes. This show always has you in mind. Always. So we want to know what you love, what you don't love, what you want more or less of. It will just take a few minutes of your time, I swear. Check out the show notes for this episode wherever you're listening. I appreciate your time so much and your very honest feedback. We cannot grow if we don't know, right? Okay, so let's get into my chat with Janet Ioli. Janet, welcome to 40 Thrive.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I am happy to have you. So tell me, less ego, more soul. When you came up with that title, what does that mean to you?
Wow. See, and that's a loaded one, right? Because it can mean a lot of things to a lot of people. What it means is living more in alignment with who you really are versus how you've been conditioned or how you've thought you need to live.
Right. So as women over 40, we've had just a few years to be conditioned by life. When you look at some of your clients, I mean, you're an executive coach, you surround yourself with what I can only assume are women who are in powerful positions, who are in leadership. But as I speak with some of these women that maybe are your clients, they're kind of stuck in the same way. So how do you think we've been conditioned in a way that's not aligned with who we are?
Yeah, I love that question because, like you said, I work with many women who, by all conventional standards, we would say have made it. You know, they're very successful, at least from the outside, right? Or what our definitions of success are, right? So they've achieved a lot of goals. They may have a title. They may have status that we look up to. And so they're considered, quote, powerful women. Mm-hmm. And what I find is, as I talk to these women, they'll confide, right? It's like, okay, but I'm not really, and I don't think it's the word happy. It's the word fulfilled. Yes. I'm not really fulfilled. And, you know, when you peel back that onion and you start to ask, well, what is it? It's this constant need for pleasing others. Mm-hmm. It's this constant need to polish. And by polish, I mean to look good, to look a certain way, you know, to have this image. And then this constant need to prove myself and to get this external validation, which will then reinforce that, in fact, I am good and I am good at what I'm doing. And I am powerful and I am successful. And so there's an emptiness or there's something missing between my sense of self for others and what my sense of self really is. Mm. I don't know if that makes sense to you, Jackie.
It makes perfect sense to me. And I think that probably, and I'm taking a leap here, that a woman who is successful in her career and considered a leader or high powered or however we describe her today has probably gotten there because of outside factors, that it's not just being aligned with herself, but maybe competing with a coworker or, you know, getting a new degree or whatever it is. That how do you build a life as someone who is quote unquote high powered without letting all of the feelings of other people in and define you?
Yeah, absolutely. And you don't, right? Because that's how we're conditioned. In order to survive in the world or to make our way in the world, we wear, and I call it in the book, an ego mask. Like Carl Jung even, you know, says we have a persona. We have an ego mask that we wear. And that is normal and natural. I mean, because we don't live in a vacuum. We have to convene among others and make our way in the world. But what happens to us is that we identify with that mask and we think that's all we are. Right. And so it needs this constant approval. We need this constant validation. And we're so hung up on what we're doing. So it's doing more. So I need to do more. Then the more I do, the better I am, right? So I achieve and I move up and I get all of these things rather than concentrate on who am I being while I'm doing all of these things. And that is when you're letting your, what I call your inner wise woman speak to you. It's like, am I satisfied with who I am while I'm doing all of these things? Because you can be distracted, you can be non-present, you can be snappy, you can be reactive, not really conscious of the person you are while you're out doing all of these things.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And you could be going for success in ways that aren't even aligned with you.
Exactly. And that's what, you know, I think you just captured the word. That's what the book is about, is alignment. Mm-hmm. You know, what is really aligned with your core self? And are you doing those things? And really, not so much are you doing the things, but are you being that person?
Right. It's a really scary question, I have to say, Janet, yeah, to like sit and get quiet and ask yourself, am I being who I truly am?
And what I find is that most of us, while we feel that little sense of being off, we don't go there. We put a chair against that voice, right? It's like, oh, just shut up. You know, I don't want to hear that. Because only when you're by yourself and you really do some deep soul searching does it come up. But what I found, and I found it in my own experience, and I found it with so many people that I work with, is that when something comes along that I call a thunderbolt that hits you, and it could be an illness, it could be a divorce, a sudden divorce, it could be the loss of a job, the loss of a loved one, something that shakes you.
Right.
I think that's when people get ready to do that introspection. But what I do believe is that they don't have a template. They don't know how. Right. It's like all this stuff starts coming and it's overwhelming. And so what I try to do in the book is provide, and I'm not big on, you know, tips and, you know, here's 500 tips for how to do this or that. But I try to provide some sort of structured way to do that deeper self-reflection, to find that.
Yeah. And this is what I love. You gave me the perfect segue. We're in an energy really right now where people are willing to be more authentic. They're willing to step back from things that no longer serve them. I feel like I'm using all the buzzwords, but let's just get straight to it. People are willing to get real.
Yeah.
They're willing to figure out who they are and all of that. And so there's a lot out there in regards to coaching and books and this and that. But what caught my attention with your book was, number one, 3 weeks, 21 days,
right.
Because I think it's so overwhelming to think, oh my gosh, I'm going to go get aligned with myself.
Right.
I'm going to go figure out who I am. We all know that's a lifelong journey, right? There's no end point.
Exactly.
But the fact that you can provide a tangible, like, set time for me to do this work. So then it's really like a kickstart to the longer work. So tell me a little bit about, like, what would you expect? And I know we got to go read the book if we want to know, but what would someone listening right now expect by reading the book? Like, what happens in these 3 weeks?
Okay. First of all, I'm going to say something that probably doesn't serve me.
Okay.
I have written this book because I want to have impact, not just to sell books, right? So if you're expecting to go take this book, sit on the beach, leisurely read this. Oh, I want to be entertained. This is probably not a book you want.
Okay.
What this book is for people who are really ready to do some deep self-reflection.
Yes.
And who are ready to make a change. And so what I'm saying is, let's provide a structure of 3 weeks. And in 3 weeks, let's do that deep work together. So I kind of guide you, kind of like a coach through here, to do that self-reflection. And so the first week, what I have you do is what I call embrace yourself. And by that, I mean, everything that you've done up until now isn't wrong all of a sudden, right? It actually has served you.
Thank you, Janet.
Right? I mean, everything we've done, we've accomplished, the person we are, all of that has been formed by the journey we've been on. And we're all on different ones, right? So I provide a template for you to be able to just kind of take a look visually at your journey. And then I ask you some questions so you can say, wow, look at who I am. And really embrace yourself and celebrate where you are. And then the second piece is, okay, now that's where I am now. Mm-hmm. But where I am now is not where I always want to be, right? And that may not incorporate who I really am. So the second step is really to kind of tap into, what are the stories that no longer serve me, that I've been given by others? And what parts of these things are mine and I want to own going forward? And so the second week is what I call the deep dive, right? It's really going internal. You can pick, you know, there's visualization, you can do journaling. There's a host of questions that I give you to really hone in on, who is my inner wise woman? Mm-hmm. And who am I really? And I think through that, it takes you to, who am I becoming with all of this? And I have you create a personal manifesto. And the personal manifesto has three parts: who I am, what I believe in, and what I'm committed to. And now that sounds really simple. And it isn't simple at all, right, to come up with that. Because what we start to think of is what everybody else has told us.
Right.
And we don't think of ourselves as big as we are.
Yeah. It's simple, but not easy.
Right. It is not easy.
So I love this, because in week one, when you celebrate yourself and you really acknowledge some of the things that you've overcome, some of the things that you've gone through and come out on the other side, I joke that, like, you know, I've been through some shit. And there's a reason that I now uplift or try to uplift an entire community of women over 40, because the experiences I've had, and I don't mean the positive ones, I mean the challenging ones, are why people come to me and ask me, like, oh, do you know someone who can help me with this? Or, you've been through 5 billion things, like, can you help me through this? And I love that. That is my favorite thing. And I wouldn't have that purpose in my life without all the experiences that I've gone through.
Exactly.
And so I love that you're teaching, because I had to figure this out on my own. If only I had your book. I think we all need a little guidance, especially right now. We're all in a space where we were rushing around a year ago and we could pretend like it didn't matter if we knew ourselves or not. Like, now we are sitting in it, you know?
Absolutely.
All we have is ourselves some days. So tell me a little bit more about the manifesto. What kind of feedback have you gotten as far as the challenge of creating your own personal manifesto, and, like, how do you work through it?
Yeah. So the manifesto, I think, is really, when you're defining who you are, I think we like to keep ourselves small. And what I found when people are answering the questions, because there's a host of questions there: what's your superpower? What do you contribute to the world? What did you like to do when you were a kid? You know, I mean, it goes deep, right?
Yeah.
And what I'm trying to get at is the essence of you, right?
Yes.
Rather than, you know, I'm my title, I'm a mom, I'm a, you know, I'm a wife. Those are roles. What's the essence? I'll give you an example. I'll read you a little bit of mine, because what I try to do is I try to make people think big and not feel embarrassed, because sometimes people start to shy away. But that's what I find, is that they shy away from how big they are. So, you know, a little bit, just the first part of mine: I'm a modern day alchemist here to help people transform their lives to gold. I mean, that's a bold statement, right? Yes. That's a superpower.
Yes.
And then it goes on and on. I'm not going to read you mine, but what I try to prod people to do is to step back and capture the essence of yourself versus the roles you're in. That's the first piece. So, you know, having people really be honest with, what is that energy inside of me? The second piece is, what do I really believe in? not what others have told me to believe in, not what I've been socialized with, not what I think I should believe in, but what do I really believe in? That takes a little bit of separating yourself from everything that you learned, right? Over the years, saying, wow, you know, I learned that, but I don't necessarily believe that.
Right. Have you ever been in that circumstance? I have been in that circumstance where I've heard myself, I mean, as someone who is a podcaster and I blogged for years and I've shared an opinion and I've stopped mid-opinion and I've gone, wow, I don't actually believe that at all. Like, that's something I've carried through the years.
Right.
And that's not who this person right now, that's not what I believe.
Right.
And so I think we have to sort of be brave in confronting those.
Right. And then finally, what am I committed to? Because being committed is different than what I believe in who I am, right? What am I really committed to being? And who am I committed to being? Who am I committed to being in the world? And I know these sound a little out there airy, but they're not, because they work with everyone. And especially, you know, talk about practical. I mean, I work with executives. I also am a very practical person. So how I look at this is your compass. Mm-hmm. So creating a compass that anchors you, because I find with all these incredible women I work with, many of them, their confidence is not very grounded. It's situational. As long as I get validation, I'm confident. Mm. Or as long as I'm in control, I'm confident. But when you have this to anchor back to, there's a groundedness because it's bigger than you. And it's not really about you. It's about what you're here to do. And that's a bit different than the ego.
Right. So I'm hearing that maybe they have more confidence in what they're capable of and not in who they are.
You got it.
That's interesting.
Right?
Yeah. I remember when I got together with my husband, you know, almost 20 years ago, I used to say that, like, he's very confident in who he is. He doesn't have to prove himself to anyone. And I'm very confident in what I can accomplish.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah.
So what if you weren't accomplishing all those things?
Exactly. And that's the place where many of us are in now. And I think that's what this whole COVID thing has done for us, right? Because they're like, oh, you find confidence in what you can accomplish. We're going to strip that out of your life, because it's now time to find confidence in who you are.
And that's the thunderbolt.
Yes.
And so then it's not like, okay, I'm going to go abandon my life and I'm going to go quit my job and I'm going to go live on a llama farm, right? That's not the point. The point is, once you know this, you come from a more grounded place that's not coming from that ego mask that's needing to please, prove, and polish. So you can still give an opinion that's not really what you believe, but you're doing it consciously and you know why you're doing it, right? You have an intention behind it versus because I think I should or because I want others to like what I'm saying.
Right. You know, I could tie this conversation into almost all of the episodes that I've done, because I believe that this work can help us really figure out what kind of work we want to do,
right,
as far as professionally, or who we want to be in a relationship with, or what's next after the kids go. You know, so this work really applies to anyone who wants to just spend the next chapter of their lives, like you said, from the beginning, aligned with who we are. It's all about fulfillment. It's not about, like, happiness. Like, we talk about happiness.
Right.
It's really about waking up and feeling good with who we see in the mirror.
I think you just encapsulated it so beautifully, Jackie, because when you start to say, you know, who am I, what I believe, and what am I committed to? Are you committed to your health, right? I'm committed to my health. I say that. But yet when I make food choices that are not healthy over a long period of time, then I am not in alignment,
right,
with what I say I'm committed to. So I'm actually a hypocrite, right? On some level.
Yeah.
Because what I say I am and what I do are two different things. So that's what I mean by who are you being?
Right.
It applies everywhere. It applies at home, you know, relationships like you just said.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it really even applies to parenting. You know, sometimes we're on autopilot.
Right.
And it's like, this is what I learned, right, as a kid. And so then you start to repeat. And it's, again, I've caught myself like, whoa, I don't actually believe that that's the right way to parent. But that's my conditioning.
That's what my parents did, right? Or that's what I learned. And you should do that.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. And then I have to stop. And I actually try to tell my kids, I have three teenage boys. And I try to tell them like, whoa, that was actually something that I was on autopilot, and I don't really believe that. So let's be more mindful in what I really think you can do in this situation or whatever.
Right. It's choices, right? And so we're not conscious of our choices often. So we just react, and we react by conditioning rather than, wait a minute, that's not in alignment with who I am.
Right.
Or who I say I am.
Right.
Because other people see when you're not in alignment. Like even at work, you know, a lot of the women that I work with, you know, they'll say, I really value people. And yet, you know, when you go observe and, you know, sit in their meetings, they're sitting there on their phone while somebody's talking to them. So there's a misalignment, right? Between I value people, yet my time is much more interesting, you know, as I look at my phone.
Exactly.
It kind of makes you catch yourself and be conscious of those things that you're not in alignment with.
Yeah. And then we have to call BS on ourselves.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, this is amazing. Like I said, the fact that it's 3 weeks, it's a great sort of a jump start to a longer process. Right. Do you recommend someone go back and like reread the book and redo the exercises? Like, I mean, I can't imagine this is a one-time only book.
Well, this is a process, right? I mean, we're constantly learning, growing. If we're not, then we're dead, right? Or we're in denial. Mm-hmm. And so this process helps you jumpstart getting your compass in place, right? So what happens when you have a compass and you're going on a journey? You pull it out, right? And then you look, is it working? And if it's not working, right, maybe I need a new compass or something, right? Mm-hmm. But it's something to carry with you as you go on this journey. And the questions in the book are something that you can always go back to. And the visualization exercises and some of the journaling exercises are things to go back to just to make sure, because we get caught up. We get so caught up in the doing.
Yeah. I mean, it's a competition for many. I'm so busy. Oh, I'm so busy. It's like a badge of honor to be the busiest in the room.
Right. The busiest. Yet how are we though when we're busy? You know, who are we being while we're busy?
Right.
Are we being scattered, fragmented, distracted? Do we yell at people? Are we have short temper? I mean, who is that? Is that the person we want to be while we're being busy?
Right.
And do we want to be so image conscious? Mm. Right. And so there's a whole piece about polish in there. And I tell a lot of the personal stories, which are about me and the whole thing about the appearance thing and how that also affects women. Right.
Yeah. They're
just so caught up in how do I look more than who am I being?
Right. I mean, especially the fact that the work you're doing and the people you're leading, they're so, you know, at the top of their game. Did you feel like you had to look a certain way, that you had to like make sure that you were quote unquote perfect?
Well, it's interesting. One of the things that really hit home for me when I was a kid, actually, I was in second grade and I had a lazy eye. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but it's one of your eyes crosses, right?
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in Greece, and in Greece, you know, I have long blonde hair at the time as a kid, right? Green eyes. I looked different. And so people would stop my mom and say, oh, what a pretty little girl, what a pretty little girl. So you get this cute little pretty thing going. And then when I got that eye thing in second grade, all of a sudden I became this freak. And at school, nobody would play with me. They would call me cross-eyed lion. They'd yell at me. They'd say, ew, you know, you're so ugly, ugly. Oh. And then when I had surgery and that was fixed, oh, you know, we want to be friends with you again. We're, you know,
right.
And so what I realized at that time is kind of the layer of the mask that came over me. It was, wow, you have to be a certain way. You have to look a certain way for people to like you.
Right. To have value.
Right. To have value, because I saw the difference, right?
Yeah.
The stark contrast. And I think we play that out. And then there's so many reinforcing things we get as women about that, right? We're our worst enemies. I mean, you see on TV, somebody will be singing and the men in the room will just be watching the woman or whatever. And the women will be saying, oh, look, she's gained 50 pounds or, you know, it's so, so image driven.
Right.
And so I think, you know, even as an executive, you know, what's the look? So what I talk about is it's not that you let go of caring about appearance, because we all care about our appearance. People judge you by your appearance. I mean, that's a fact, right? We're going back to realism. However, that isn't what defines you. And that's not where you find your worth. And that's what I talk about in the book, is that you're more conscious of that's the shell.
Yes.
Right. That's part of my ego identity. It's not me.
Right.
And being able to separate those two.
Right. That's amazing. I love the work you're doing. I'm going to link to the book in the show notes, of course.
Oh, great.
Jana, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time and sharing your book, and I can't wait to see what you do next.
Oh, thank you so much. I really enjoyed this. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening. Every time a listener hits subscribe or share, an angel gets its wings. Okay, maybe not. But it does make this show more discoverable and helps more women over 40 thrive today and every day. So that tiny, simple act makes a huge impact. Thank you so much. Until next time, take care and keep thriving. Happy New Year. Spring has sprung, and with the change of seasons, sometimes comes an increase in vitality. If you're feeling in the mood for a little more personal time, may I suggest Coconut? Coconut is all about providing clean and natural ingredients when you're enjoying your most intimate moments, with or without a partner. Naturally safe products developed by people who are obsessed with quality. Get 15% off with promo code GRONASS at grownasswoman.guide/coconut. That's 15% off with promo code GRONASS at grownasswoman.guide/coconut.